Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Andrew, you can go there, you can have 136 draft beers, and if you're in Charlottesville and you're a fan of the University of Virginia, you probably need them all, because they gagged yesterday.
Oh, did they ever? It was amazing.
You can go there, you can watch LSU baseball, you can watch spring games coming up, they have an awesome menu. Astros baseball will be starting next week. The Pelican House, they're awesome. 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. All right, Kevin, or actually I'll start with you, Andrew. Mickey Loomis, he is a goddamn magician. Because during the offseason, we said, well, maybe he could sign players. You know, he could carve out space. They have $10 million of space. But then they got down to where they had no space. And the thing we said going into the offseason and even while the free agency was going on, what's the one thing we said they wouldn't be able to do? They wouldn't be able to sign players to one-year deals for, like, above the minimum. And they signed Nick Farley today for a one-year, $3 million deal. It could possibly be worth $5.5 million. Andrew, explain to me how they are doing these deals and putting them into the league office, and everything I read says they have no cap space. How are they doing this?
Well, first of all, it's Fairley, not Farley.
Fairley. I like saying Farley because he's fat.
He is fat. But yeah, no, I mean, I was against them signing Fairley specifically because I was assuming that if they did sign him, it was probably going to be for a decent deal or a long-term deal. And so I'm relieved that it's a one-year deal because it keeps him motivated. But the answer to your question is I have no clue. I have no earthly idea.
Andrew, you're the cap and roster guy.
I mean, there has to be a corresponding move. They had to have done something. Now, I don't think – I was talking to Nick Underhill about this today, and I don't think it's Breeze, because if it had been Breeze, and this is Underhill's point, which I agree with, we would have heard something from Ed Werder.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Tom Condon represents half of the national media, so he would have leaked it to someone. So I don't know if it's the Max Unger deal. I don't know if it's Morstead. I don't know if it's Streif. I don't know if it's Jairus Byrd, but they had to do something. And I think we're going to find out tomorrow morning. But the secrecy of it, and I mean, it just blows my mind. I mean, you got to give them credit. You know, the Saints, I mean, they have really squeezed out every ounce of juice they've been able to out of the salary cap. And
I just looked an hour ago on the NFLPA website where they keep track of all that stuff. And I would assume that's about as official as it's going to get as far as numbers. And they update it every day, so I don't know whether it's going to change tomorrow.
And you're not allowed to be over the cap. Like at the end of the business day, you have to be under.
Well, and I don't know if it's going to change tomorrow, but right now, as of like an hour ago, the Saints were literally like $230,000 under the salary cap. I mean, it doesn't really get much closer than that.
Kevin, you're our resident wrestling and St. Louis expert. So this new Nick Fairley, he's from St. Louis, and I put a poll question for Twitter, and I said, will the Saints' new defensive tackle be fat and awesome, fat and lazy, fat and penalized? So which is it going to be?
I will go the I'm taking option D, fat and okay, which
I
suppose.
Yeah, I was going to say Kevin Williams doesn't fit any of those three.
Which I suppose fat and awesome might qualify anyway, even if he is just average, because the Saints defense is terrible.
He's the second best defensive lineman on the team. I was arguing with people about that today. Is that
you? People were arguing.
People were telling me that it was Jenkins.
Better than Fairley?
Yeah. Or Bobby Richardson?
No.
Because he's younger. Because he's younger. Because he's younger.
Just stop.
Because he's younger and cheaper.
These are the same people that are going to want to believe that the Saints are going to are somehow magically going to be 11-5.
Yeah,
because
these are
just
the same people that
right.
said that Rob Ryan would scheme Edebali into as many sacks as Junior Gallette.
yeah, those people. But seriously, is Mickey Loomis? What are the odds that he's paying fairly in po' boys and beignets?
Look, we just discussed it. I don't know how he's doing it, but
he's paying him in Visions coupons. That's what it is.
Would you take Vision coupons as payment in lieu of?
No. Visions? I don't think so. Do they have a Visions down here?
What? Dave. Yes, what? It's on the West Bank.
Oh, okay.
Don't you mean the Best Bank?
The best bank.
I think wouldn't that almost be like getting paid in Downs Lounge dollars?
Downs Lounge is a step down from Visions, though.
Well, there
Downs
you go.
Lounge, I have never even heard of.
Well, you didn't grow up.
Yeah, he didn't grow up
like,
here.
Like there, those were some hilarious late night commercials. A strip club ran commercials in New Orleans, folks.
I remember when you go to Visions, you'd be like, "Oh, we got the C team tonight. Time to go somewhere else."
The C team.
You know, we're C team where her kid's in the corner, and you know, you know, she may.
And you can see her C-section scar.
Yeah. The best. That's good times, man. When you're in your 20s, man. If you're in your 20s and you grew up in New Orleans and you didn't make the trek to Vision, I mean, you weren't living. That's all I'm saying.
You also weren't dying, which is, you know, I always recommend.
But you came close, most likely.
Well,
we've gotten way off topic.
We have. So
really, our podcast?
We talked about the new defensive tackle. What do you want? Like that's all.
No. And wait. Now, seriously, I would say out of all the signings so far this offseason by the Saints, honestly, I think this one probably excites me the most. And I mean, Fairley is not. He's not like an every down. From everything I've read, he's not an every down guy. He's not going to be playing, you know, 70% of the snaps. He's just going to be rotated inwards. So it's not like, you know, there are people on Canal Street Chronicles commenters saying, "Oh well, why would they do this when they could just draft a defensive tackle in the draft?" Whatever, blah blah blah. Look, the signing Fairley.
Do that.
Yeah, signing Fairley. He's just one guy. They're going
to. You know why they sign Fairley? So they don't have to play an undrafted free agent.
So yeah. Caleb Ewells doesn't make the roster.
That's exactly.
I mean, yeah. Obviously, that's one right. Exactly. Is they can still draft a defensive tackle. They still need more help. Fairley is just one guy, and he's a rotational guy. And I mean, aren't they supposed to be transitioning back to a 4-3? So they're gonna need two defensive tackles.
Yeah. Well, they need about four because you can't play fat guys
right,
all the time.
Right. Right. So and you want some depth. So this doesn't change their draft plan one bit. Is what I'm saying.
Kevin, I feel like. Fairley is a kindred spirit to you and me because he's a chronic underachiever.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, it's a good move, but I feel like he is the deluxe version of Akeem Hicks, which you look at him and you're like, dude, he could be so good. And his breakout year is always right around the corner and it always will be. Like, he's one of those guys that, this is everybody says this is the year he's going to be all pro. This is the year he's going to be great, and he's never that guy. Like if he couldn't be good in St. Louis on that defensive line, like what makes you think he's going to be anything but like slightly above replacement level?
I got nothing, Ralph. I mean, you pretty much laid it all out there, and
is it fair to assume this is an upgrade over Kevin Williams?
Is it fairly to say that? Yes.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that.
Do we want Kevin Williams back, though? Like, I would want him back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is there anything left in free agency? I see, like, even if you're, like, the Saints are, like, dollar shopping, like, Kevin, there's a point at the dollar store where there's, like, even though it's all a dollar, like, once you go in and you spend, like, $18, like, there's some things at the dollar store, like, they aren't worth buying, even though they're a dollar.
Yeah, you reach the point of no return.
So is there anything left in free agency? I was looking at lists today. I didn't see much, man. Is there...
Well, I mean, what did you say? I mean,
I saw Schwartz, and that's good for Spaceballs jokes, but that dude's, like, broken down. I saw
Vasquez.
I saw Vasquez. I saw Jones, the defensive end for Detroit. I saw Mincy, the defensive lineman for Dallas. I mean, that's about it.
Hatcher. Ooh. The Saints were looking at Hatcher.
But he's a D tackle, right?
Like, yes.
Could he play end in a pinch, though, right? Like if he...
On running downs.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, that's... Like, I like his versatility in case you get, like, crushed by injuries. But I guess the next thing is, Dave, I feel like with all these free agent moves that the Saints have made, people feel like they have filled all these needs. I don't feel like they've filled needs as much as they have options. Like, I still feel like... They have a smoking crater of a hole at guard, and like I feel like my fear is, Dave, that they're not going to do anything in training camp, or not going to do anything in the draft or free agency, and I'm going to be fighting with media members and Brian, who does a fantastic podcast for Andrew's site. I'm going to be fighting with them because they're going to be telling me that it's going to be okay at guard when they don't do anything. So.
Well, so who do we have? Who do we have at guard?
We
right
have
now?
Lolito, and we have.
Wait, well, I mean, technically, have they signed Lolito?
No, they haven't. So they have Calamede, and that's what else?
I mean,
Andres Pete, baby.
Oh, Jesus, man.
I mean, honestly, considering the way the roster looks now, I mean, you have to seriously figure that they're seriously considering Andres Pete playing guard. I mean, because you're right, Ralph, I mean, unless they're going to draft a guard in the first round, I don't really think they're going to find anybody who's going to be able to just jump in and start right away.
Here's an interesting question. And Kevin, we know you are the president of the Trade Down Club, of course, right? But right. I have a scenario that I don't think is plausible, but it might be. Because the Jets are really fighting with Muhammad Wilkerson. So I'm going to make you here's a trade down scenario for the Saints. They trade down with the Jets from 12 to 20. And the Saints get Muhammad Wilkerson, pay him a crap ton of money. And that's.
Which they don't have.
But it doesn't matter. I mean.
I don't see how they're going to make any more moves in free agency when they're. $230,000.
But I mean, they could do Breeze before the draft, and then they'd have plenty to get Wilkerson. But Kevin, would that be a suitable trade down scenario for you?
No. I mean,
he wants picks on picks on picks.
Pretty much. And here's the thing: is Muhammad Wilkerson a home run player? And I hate using a baseball analogy for this, but is he? Is he the kind of guy that is just going to just command respect from opposing teams? Is he the kind of guy that can galvanize a defense through, I don't know, leadership, example, sheer force of will, charisma, any of that shit, like on the field? So then why would you pay this guy a shit ton of money just to move back? And even if you got an extra pick, like from the Jet, it wouldn't be worth it.
No, I think it would be. I think it would be. I mean, Chandler Jones.
Even if they redid Breeze's deal, and had enough cap space to where they feasibly could make that move, I would still be hesitant.
Andrew, would you do that deal?
Well, I would just be worried from a scheme fit. You know, the Jets run a 3-4, and he's more of kind of your run stuffing defensive end who happens to be a decent pass rusher too. So I don't know where he would fit. I mean, I guess he would be a defensive tackle on passing downs in a 4-3. So that would be my main issue is scheme fit. But, I mean, I'm all about talent. I just think this defense is so devoid of talent. And, you know, I think a year ago it was more coaching, and I think it was more players breaking down and you know, just – general idiocy and not trying hard. But this year for me, it really was a talent deficiency. So they just need to get better.
Dave, do you like my trade down scenario or no?
I'm always all about the trade down. All about the
but
trade down.
Not for Wilkerson and paying him. Because you're going to have to pay him.
I just don't see it. I mean, this is assuming they rework a deal with Breeze.
Yeah.
Signing one player like that to a huge deal, is sort of the exact opposite, gives you the exact opposite effect of trading down. Those two don't go hand in hand. I just feel like if you're of the philosophy like I am of trading down, I'm kind of against. I think maybe the whole Jairus Byrd signing has really scarred me, and so
you need to go.
I don't want to see the team dump a ton of money into one player and just hope for the home run. I want them, you know, like the Patriots. I want them to get a lot of guys who are maybe hungrier, and
which is kind of their philosophy this offseason, this free agency period.
It was last year too, so I feel like there's definitely been a change in philosophy, and I definitely feel like this is now the second year of sort of a retooling, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, did you see how little they paid Robertson? And I mean, I get it, the NFL doesn't care about linebackers anymore, but the contracts for Laurinaitis and Robertson were tiny.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, and the thing is, even the Josh Hill deal, like, it's okay. Like, if he ends up being just a mediocre starter, that's a good deal. But, Kevin, here's the thing that
how do you figure he's going to start? He's their number three tight end.
But, I mean, he could develop into that, is what I'm saying. Like, if you get, like, say...
I don't think they paid Kobe Fleener 5 years, $8 million per year to go behind Josh Hill.
But let's say you have. We hope this wouldn't happen. But let's say Kobe Fleener gets injured or gets nicked, and Josh Hill suddenly is the starter, and he catches 55 balls this year.
Mm-hmm.
That deal suddenly looks good because if you would have signed him to the 1 year deal, he'd have been a free agent after this year. Now you have him. Now you have him as a star, as a mediocre replacement level starter locked in for 2 more years. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, no, I'm not complaining about Josh Hill's deal. You know, I think if the Saints had known they were going to pay him that much and they knew that they were going to land Fleener, I wonder if they would have given Hooman the contract that they ended up giving him.
Kevin, we haven't touched on it, but they did extend Sean Payton through 2020. So my question is, now that Sean Payton is extended and they're paying him, I think it's $9.5 million now or $8.5 million.
Huh.
Does that? I mean, that's
good chunk of change.
Yeah, good chunk of change. Yeah. So Benson ain't buying out that anytime soon if they go in the crapper. So my question is, Kevin, I feel as good as I've ever felt about them trading down and being patient and playing for the next 2 years because of the contract basically for Sean Payton. Do you feel, not saying that you think they're gonna trade down, but if they're ever gonna do it, it would be this year. Like, I feel there's
I hadn't considered that possibility, but that's a more positive way of looking at it. So I will certainly. I will adopt that for myself and definitely use that. I guess I look at the new contract like, okay, Payton has now been with the team. Like, if he makes it to the end of the contract, he will have been with the team, what, 15 years? If he makes it to the end of the year? Well,
yeah.
14.
Yeah.
14 minus the whatever the hell we're going to call it.
It would be nice to have that kind of job security.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would take that money and I would invest it in Doris Mutual Funds. Now I'm going to be thinking of that for the rest of the day.
Naina dies, not that hard.
Naina the judge.
That's pretty good, Kevin.
I'm looking. I'll be looking at the next 5 years with a lot more scrutiny. Like the Saints have got to get into the playoffs at least, probably three times. At least three times. I mean, if the Saints meander about and they make the post, if the Saints meander about and they make the postseason once, I would advocate that Sean Payton not be retained.
Well, at the end of this, here, that's the question, Andrew, and Dave, you can answer it as well. In 2020, is Sean Payton and Drew Brees both going to be on the team? Do you think, if you had to put money on it?
In 2020?
Yeah, because Brees,
I don't see Brees playing that long. Payton might still be here, but Brees, I don't think so.
Andrew, you think they'll both be here in 2020?
I don't really see Brees. I think Brees has 2, maybe 3 years left.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see it. I don't see.
God damn, that's going to be sad.
I mean, yeah. The thing is, though, I mean, if
I
if,
mean, until this deal gets done, this might be his last year in New Orleans.
I mean, if he doesn't do the deal, stop. If they don't do the deal, they have to franchise him after this year, and he'd be like what, like $43 million hit.
Yeah, they can't do it. They can't. Yeah,
that would be too bad.
I mean, they keep saying that it's getting closer. I mean, do we feel like, Kevin, if I said Breeze, deal done before the draft, yay or nay?
Yay.
Yay. Ooh, Andrew.
Man, I don't know. I'm going to say no. I just don't have a lot of faith. I feel like this is going to drag out all the way to next year.
Yep. Nay. We'll be talking about this next offseason.
Yeah.
How is it that I'm the only one that's positive on this?
I know. He's going to get...
We'll be talking about it August 2017.
It's
Loomis and Brees just don't jive when it comes to negotiating contracts.
Well, no. Condon. Loomis and Condon.
Right.
I mean, I just think it comes down to the Saints probably are like, look, Drew, we want to pay you the going rate of 20-whatever million, and we'll pay you a good chunk of bonus money, but we want to be able to get out of this thing for, like, after 2017 or after 2018. And Condon's like, nope. We want $50 million guaranteed, and you got to spread it out. And that's not how it works. And I think that's the holdup. So,
I'm not even remotely kidding. If I'm Drew Brees, I do a hometown discount deal right now, and I'm like, look, I'm hooking you guys up. You better get me something that's better than Lolito and Calamete guard.
But it's too late. It's too late. Like...
Yeah,
that's like going to the Walmart after they had like the riots, man. The shelves are empty.
The only thing I can think of is I wonder if their current cap situation has helped them negotiate these deals with Fairley, Laurinaitis, Robertson. You know, when you tell a player, look, this is the cap space that we have. We can't afford to pay you anything more.
I'm broke.
Yeah, you know, I think I wonder if that's part of it, and that was a strategy.
Conspiracy theory.
Okay, go ahead. I like conspiracy.
Here we go.
All right. This is the Mickey Loomis is playing 17-board, three-dimensional chess theory.
A lot of moving Loomis, parts to this.
Yeah, exactly. Loomis and Drew, the explanation is simple. Loomis and Brees have an understanding that Brees will wait on getting his deal done, so Loomis can get all these other deals done under the auspices of we're broke. We're up against
it. We all broke. We got no money.
He then gets these deals done. He then goes to Brees and Condon and says, okay. And then Brees looks at Condon and says, all right, now we get a deal done. And Khan's like, well, okay. But Breeze knew what was going on.
Maybe. I mean,
I don't know. I'm grasping at straws here.
I'm riffing here, man.
It's
a new jazz fusion.
Put it this way. It is easier to squeeze players like Fairley or Robertson or Laurinaitis when you are like, look, dude, we have no money. Whereas if the agent could be like, look, Mickey, you just redid Breeze's deal. You got $12 million of space. Throw us the extra $1 million bonus, you know? So, I mean, it's like 20% plausible. The one thing I wanted to say to everybody is, you know, we ask for donations on the podcast to keep the lights on and stuff. But in lieu of donating to us, Google Hoki Gajon's GoFundMe because he's an awesome guy. And if you don't know, he's fighting cancer. Go to his MyFundMe page and GoFundMe.
Is it GoFundMe?
GoFundMe. Go find it. And instead of donating $1 to us or whatever, donate $10, $20 to Hoki Gajon. It's a pizza or a Starbucks or whatever. Go there, find it. You can Google Hoki Gajon. It'll come right up. And donate to Hoki Gajon. Because, I mean, that guy, granted, I only worked at WWL for a little bit, but he was, of all the people there, one of the nicest when I interacted with him. So go there and donate money to him.
Gajon is spelled G-A-J-A-N.
Yeah, so Google it and go there and just donate. Instead of we'll get donations next week, but donate to him.
Gajan.
Yes.
Hoki. Yeah, and whatever you do, don't go searching GoFundMe for it because the search options on GoFundMe are for shit.
Oh. Okay.
It's terrible. Like if you like find a news story, find a local news story about Hoki Gajon, and they will hopefully have a link to the actual site itself.
So do that for us, for America. So, all right, we got podcast questions. So let's get them out. Kevin, this is from this is from Matthew Miller. Is it ever fashionable for a grown man to wear jean shorts?
I think unless you're John Cena, I'm going to say the answer is no.
Do you live in Florida, Matthew? Because if you don't live in Florida, it's not
Northern Florida. Northern Florida.
If you don't live in
jorts are unacceptable under any circumstance.
Again, unless you're John Cena, and even then, we will still make fun of you.
All right.
Unless it's part of a denim tuxedo where you're wearing a denim shirt and then a denim jacket.
This is from Glenn.
And jeans.
This is from Glenn.
No, you're wearing jorts.
This is from Glenn Fitz, Dave. If you gave Mickey Loomis a $5 budget, does he get two Wendy's $4 meals? Can Mickey Loomis end hunger?
That's funny. There's no answer to that, though. Obviously, we already talked about Mickey Loomis and his cap wizardry.
Yeah, this is funny. This is from Falcons M5 Matt. He says, why are we here? Also, how do the Saints keep signing people with no cap space? I don't know, Matt. Take it up with your general manager.
They have cap space. They have $230,000. they could go buy like a fancy car with what's left over.
You could buy like the bottom of the line Rolls for that. Alright, Dave, this is from the Eagle. If it's Rankins, Lee, Hargraves at 12. Who is your pick, or is it some guard from Trump University?
Rankins, Lee, who?
Darren Lee from Ohio State, the linebacker.
Oh, no, Jarrett Lee is from Alabama, huh?
Jarrett Lee is from LSU.
No, anyway.
You got at 12, Dave? Who you got at 12?
I would take Hargraves, actually. I don't think Hargraves falls to 12. I don't see that happening at all. I think he's the best value there.
I take the guard from Trump University. Donald Trump University. Kevin, this is from Sir Cap. Mickeynomics 101 law states space and time are bendable objects equals money appear in time for space to be made. I don't even know what that means.
What the hell?
Yes.
Incoherent. Wow. Yes.
Yeah. Pass that shit over here, dude.
Nailed
okay.
it.
This is this Dylan. This is
I demand somebody make a photoshopped illustration of this with all the math on it and some hilarious equation. I want that now.
And a picture of Mickey Loomis naked.
I want a picture of Mickey Loomis the Ron Paul gif where he's waving his arms and it's like psychedelic background and it's like, it's happening! They need to make it with Mickey Loomis, and every time he signs somebody the rest of free agents period, the Saints can just put that up. I mean, that's
there you go. I tell you what, somebody send that to the Saints Twitter guy.
The Saints Twitter is really good. It's really good, but they should like roll with this. We sign people with no cap space. Like they should take that gag up. You know, I'm just saying. So
and you get a contract, and you get a contract.
So Kevin,
this is from
Dylan. Kevin, Bird is going through his first healthy offseason since 2013. Does that make him the player with the most upside on D?
Technically, yes.
8 interceptions minimum.
Oh my God.
Andrew, if running back, wide receiver, and tight end stay the same through week one, who on the Saints O will have a bigger year? I guess he meant through week 16.
So who's going to have the most production?
If everybody stays, it's got to be Ingram.
Got to be Ingram.
Yeah, Ingram. Gets
I know Cooks. Cooks. Cooks.
Ooh,
Cooks.
That's a good. Yeah, I mean, let's see. And Dave, have the Saints done enough on D in free agency to make you feel okay if they go all offense in the 2016 draft?
I would have never felt all okay. Ever. They could have signed some of the best players available and I still wouldn't have been satisfied. That is a terrible, terrible idea.
This is a good question. This is from Dylan.
If all 6 draft picks are guards, I could get on board.
Yeah.
Andrew, this is an interesting question because I think it encapsulates what the national media is kind of feeling about the Saints. Walter Football gave the Saints an F for their offseason so far.
Wow.
Do you agree?
Not even remotely. No. I think you look at the 32nd ranked defense in the league. I think moving Anthony to a strong side linebacker, allowing him to kind of roam a little bit more and making Laurinaitis the captain of your defense, a durable, smart player with a high IQ, is a good move. I really like kind of the bargain bins. I think Robertson's a guy that could end up starting. Nate Stupar is going to be good on special teams. You've got Fairley, who I think with a 1-year deal, I'm really happy about that because I think he'll be motivated. I was worried that it would be more of a commitment, so I'm happy about that. The only deal that I really had an issue with was Fleener. I just think they overpaid. And it's not even that I dislike the fact that they got him. I just don't really like his contract. So that's the only move I question. But
man, it's like, what do people want the Saints to do? Like, what's the alternative to what they've done?
They didn't. I mean, if you look at everyone else, everyone else overpaid even worse. So
yeah, I mean, not just the Fleener deal, but like, what was the alternative that the Saints did? I mean, I guess they could have not.
I think if I could keep Houmanau Anui and Hill, and basically have a hole at starting tight end, and trade Fleener's deal for upper echelon guard, I would do it. So I think if there's one regret I have, it's that you could always draft a tight end and just hope that Drew Brees turns whoever ends up being the starting tight end into a productive player. I would rather that and a more trustworthy option in guard.
This is from Don Tanaka. What is more horrifying to look at, Josh Hill's new contract or Ralph's liver? Dude. Have you seen my liver?
Not even close.
It's not even close. Not even close. Kevin, who is more likely to make the Pro Bowl this year? Nick Fairley, Jarris Bird, or Andres Pete?
Ooh, good question.
I tell you what, I'll say Andres Pete because I have a sneaking suspicion that whoever the team from the NFC in the Super Bowl is going to end up probably having like 2 guys on the offensive line. that are going to make the Pro Bowl, and they'll, of course, decline, and then I can see somebody else declining, and then I can see them being like, yeah, Andrew Speed, okay, okay, yeah.
Dave, will Drew give Fairley the Advocare pitch? Some supplements could help keep his weight down.
Drew's already had a case shipped to his new address in Canada.
Compliments.
To Fairley's new house.
The house.
Oh, yeah. The first one's free. That's how they draw you into the pyramid scheme.
The first one's free.
They give you a little taste.
Yeah.
It's like a drug dealer.
Andrew, would y'all still draft Treadwell in the first round after he ran a 4.63 40 at his pro day?
I mean, draft him anyway.
Well, I think you look at Jarvis Landry and 40 times, you know, I there is some value in it. But I think too often now, you know, the draft experts on Twitter cling to these cone times and, you know, 40 times. And at the end of the day, the tape speaks for itself. And I knew Jarvis Landry would be a great football player because I watched him every Saturday and I knew he had fantastic hands and good routes. And he was just a tough football player. And, you know, the 40 time hasn't really factored into his how he's produced as a player. And I think the same of Treadwell. The only thing for me is it's really for me going to depend on who is available at 12 and what's the best value. You know, I think it's hard to lock in on a player at 12 because you don't know what's going to be available. And if he's the best guy on the board and the Saints feel like they can use him in an offense and they have a vision for him and a plan, then absolutely I think they should take him.
Andrew, so just to be clear, you like Jarvis Landry's hands.
I do.
They're
very much so.
They're magnificent hands. They're not tiny. They're not tiny hands like Trump's.
They're sizable.
You got main hands.
Kevin, your thoughts on
I like Allie Landry's hands too.
Yeah, Kevin, your thoughts on Batman versus Superman?
I have not seen it.
Save yourself $8, Jesus Christ.
Debating whether or not to see it. Like, I want to know how bad it could be.
It's no plot. The plot is incoherent. I like Ben Affleck's pretty good as Batman, though.
Can I ask? Can I spoiler, or is that not allowed?
You can spoil.
I don't care.
All right, spoiler alert. So fast forward the next 15 alert. Seconds. Yeah. I heard that Superman dies. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
So Batman wins?
No.
It's not in the end. Kind of, not really.
God, that sounds stupid.
Just
listening to you explain it, I already hate this movie.
Facebook guy as Lex Luthor was like the worst idea since I...
Facebook guy?
Social network guy, whatever.
Jesse
Eisenberg.
Yeah,
Eisenberg. He's okay, but him as that is just a bad. Like somebody needs to be fired and slapped in the face for that. But anyway,
well, slapped in the face first and then fired.
Yeah.
fired then slapped in the face. They don't work.
Fired out of a cannon. Fired out.
Then it's not an HR problem.
So that about wraps it up. You can go to Saints Nation. Andrew has his thoughts on the Saints' latest signings and podcasts. And Andrew had a really cool article about the 12th pick in the draft, just in general, if it's any good, what players get picked there. I thought that was a really interesting article, so go there and read it. Canal Street Chronicles has a lot of cool stuff. And people, you know, hating on the podcast, which is always fun. And Kevin, you're just on the Twitters now, right? You're not.
Yeah, just on Twitter.
You're not looking to bang.
Oh, let's get the update. Last week did, so now it's time to give everybody what they want to hear.
I am seeing somebody.
What?
So
what's his name?
I am hesitant to actually give the name, because I don't want to, I unfortunately, I don't want to embarrass the poor woman. But
Allie?
I will. No, no, it's it, no, no.
You stay away from. You stay away from our super.
This
fan.
Is a late. This
how
she,
would she
lives?
Embarrassed. She is not listening to this. Don't tell me you make her listen to it.
No. Yeah.
Did you meet her at wrestling?
I did, in fact, meet her through wrestling. She was helping. She was helping out.
Power bombs for everybody.
Much and
okay. What's her name?
I'm not giving her name over
is
the
it
air.
Like,
I'll give you guys her name off air.
Does she have a wrestling name like Warrior Princess?
No, she's not a wrestler. She just started helping out, and this was when I was wrestling I'm not even going to say the name of that place because fuck those guys. But the place I was first wrestling at, she came and helped out because she took her son to a show one night. Her son really loved it. So she wanted to get involved and help out.
She's got a kid. Interesting.
She's got two kids.
Kevin.
And she's older than me. She's mid-40s.
Well, Kevin, I won't.
Papa Kevin.
Yeah.
I won't judge you chasing after older women.
Yeah, older women are nice.
He's nice.
An older lady.
Yes.
I like.
People asked me today, they said, you don't live very dangerously. I said, I got a 4-month old, and I'm 40. That is the definition of living dangerously, punk. Anyway, so we're happy for you, Kevin, because everybody deserves love.
Yeah.
So, for Kevin, for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.